Praise the Lord. It is good to be here this morning. It's so good to see you. It's so good to see this beautiful sunshine outside. I tell you, that changes things. We were talking about that, a few of us, this morning. Brother Mike, appreciate what he said in Sunday school. February's been off to a good start with all that sunshine, just being out, and even if it's cold, just feeling those rays. There's something to vitamin D, I guess. It just makes me feel good. I actually have a surge of energy. Brandon, tell you, we's a little slow off to the start this morning, getting everything together, and then I don't know, something about that singing, Brother Nathan, something about that spirit just kind of changes things for me. I just want to thank the Lord. I do appreciate our short Sunday school this morning. It was good. There's a lot said in a few words, a lot to do with being thankful, and talked a lot about that, I guess, but not that that's what the message is about this morning, but there's a lot to be said about that. We'll never praise God unless we're thankful. And we just won't. But there won't be anything to, in our minds, to be thankful for or praise Him for if we're not thankful. And if we're not careful, we'll kind of put ourselves in a place, elevate ourselves in a place that we shouldn't put ourselves, that we shouldn't be. But before I get started too far down the road this morning, I don't know, I kind of did the same thing last week and not trying to start a habit with it, but does anybody have anything on their heart this morning before we get started? I don't want it to be the preacher just runs his mouth all the time and did give me an opportunity to talk. Some of the best services I've been in is when people just praise the Lord. I mean, that's what church is about. Does anybody have anything on their heart this morning? Anything at all?
Just thank the Lord for His word and the good spirit that we felt this morning.
Amen. Praise the Lord. I appreciate that, Brother Allen. It makes it a whole lot easier to sing, to preach, to praise. It just makes it a whole lot easier. I appreciate the liberty of it. Amen. Anybody else this morning?
Thank God for our church.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord for our church. I appreciate that. Right.
And He is that to us. He just brightened their days. And I can take him home and say, bring the baby to see us. And Daddy will hold him and Daddy will play with him. And Daddy's spirit totally changes when he sees him. And he's just been such a blessing. I know the Lord sent him to us.
Amen.
And I thank the church for everything, for loving you too.
Amen.
And loving us. And I ask for prayers for cares.
Amen. Amen. Always remember our young people. They're facing a lot of things in this day and time. I know throughout our lifetimes we've faced things and seen a lot of things or changes maybe, but it seems like there's a lot of challenges, a lot of things that can capture our young people right now. So let's always remember them in our prayers. Always. Anybody else this morning? Yes.
During the week for our service.
Amen.
And we just need to keep praying every day that our church service, whenever we meet together, will be a blessing to the Lord.
Amen. Amen. Always be in prayer for the services. That's what Sister Jan was saying is true. I can feel a difference. You might say that that's just something that you make up or within yourself, but it's not. There's times I've been unsettled and not felt like what I maybe had studied was right or something like that, and come to church unconfident in myself, not in God's word, but in myself. And just like Brother Terry kind of mentioned, he went one way and went another and came back to where he originally was. And that's kind of how it's been for me in studying this week. I understand where you're coming from. I started out in Zephaniah, Brother Tony. I started out right there, kind of where we'd left off, and went from there, went to Haggai, went to Malachi, went through a lot of the minor prophets, went into Jonah, and then the Lord took me all the way back into the New Testament, and I'm like, Lord, I'm just going to trust you. You know where our hearts are going to be. You know where our thoughts are going to be and what we need this morning. And sometimes, you know, it's hard for me to know what that is. But you got to trust the Lord because he always knows. He always knows. Anybody else this morning? All right, if there's nothing else, let's turn to Philippians chapter number 2. Philippians chapter number 2. I want to look at verses 5 through 11. And I don't know that I've ever, and I look back, I try to keep notes and journals and things of what I've preached, when, where, that kind of thing. And I don't recall ever directly preaching straight from these that I could find. I might have, and maybe partially in some of my notes, but I don't recall or could not find actually preaching a full, what I call a message, just out of these verses here, verses 5 through 11. But I know we can see a lot about it. I know I speak a lot to, I think, maybe thankfulness or humility or what have you, but I do want to preach on humility this morning. The question I asked this morning is, have you tried humility? If you've been through a lot of things or going through things, it just seems like things aren't quite working out. Maybe that's something you might need to look into. And you say, preacher, you jumping on me, you saying I'm not a humble person. The Lord is using this in my life. You know, it's easy sometimes to maybe try to explain the reasons or maybe defend yourself or what have you, but I think it's important that we let the Lord do the talking in our lives, that we really let him do that and take that part. And I've got a few examples, I guess. This is something that came to my heart this morning, and I've thought about it several times. And now that, you know, Brother Tim's not here this morning, I can use this because it's an example about him. I know he works on campus. I do, and several of us do. And I remember one day I was driving by, and we'd had a lot of leaks over at the jet building, a lot of water popping up. It's like, my goodness, what is going on? And leak after leak after leak. And I remember driving by in the middle, I guess it was the morning, driving over there. I was like, man, they're over there having to dig in that cold ground and dig in that water and all that kind of stuff, you know. And you see, here's the thing. Brother Tim's the supervisor, okay? He kind of oversees the crew. You know, we perceive a lot of times the supervisor is supposed to be the one at the state that's kind of leaning on the shovel, right? I mean, overseeing the operations, make sure it's done right or whatever. Well, Sister Sandy, when I drove by that day and I looked over, I didn't know who it was, exactly which crew, but when I saw somebody was kind of, you know, bent over digging in the hole or whatever, guess whose head popped up out of the hole? Brother Tim. And I thought, my goodness, that's a good example. That's a good example of leadership. That's a good example of humility, because a lot of times in supervision or what have you, just, you don't see that. Sometimes you see bosses and you don't see leaders. And my goodness, we don't need any more bosses. We need leaders. We need good leadership in our homes, in our churches, in our school systems, in our local politics and government and what have you. We need good leaders. And I just saw that this morning, and as I was studying out, just thinking about Jesus Christ and how he really is to us. You know, he could have been at an elevated position, the only one rightfully so that could have maintained his rightful position of being elevated. But, you know, he chose not to do that. That staggers me. The only reason why he would do that is because he loved me enough to say, I'm going to come down here and I'm going to show him how to do it. I'm going to do it for him. He's going to be an example. You're going to see that this morning. And before I even go any further, I just want to stop and just thank the Lord for all of his blessings on me. He has been so good to me, church. I mean, he's been good to us, and he's been so good to me. I thank the Lord for my family, and I thank the Lord for what he's doing with Josh and Sarah in their life, and I pray for protection over them and just how he's just looked after us and all kinds of manner of different things. I praise the Lord for how he's taking care of Dad. He showed me some results the other day, his pre-surgery results, and he showed me his post-surgery results, and his what, down to about zero? Like it's all gone. I mean, that's good. That's what God can do for you. That's a blessing to see it like that. And you know, if we're not careful, you just run right by that and not even thank God for it. Amen. You ever done that? God do something major in your life and you just kind of go right past it and you just blow right by it and you don't just stop and just say, thank you, Lord. And just stay in that moment for a while. Boy, it's good to be there. It's good just to stay there and just kind of relish in what He's done and just thank Him. You know, He appreciates that. He enjoys that. He does something miraculous like that that mankind can't do, other people can't do, and He'll do that for you. If we're not careful, we just go right on by and just say, well, just the way it was going to be. We just don't really know all He's done for us that we've never seen, never know anything about. I've seen things happen in life and people not even see it. Almost accidents, somebody almost get ran over, somebody almost get hit, and they're going about their life and they never saw it. God saw it, and God protected them. But you think, why? Why does He do these things? Why does He love us so much? That's just who He is. Let's read the verses here and get started this morning, and we'll go from there. You want to know what Jesus wants you and I to be thinking about, or how He wants us to be? He's giving us an example right here. It says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made Himself of no reputation, and took upon Him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, He humbled Himself and became obedient even unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted Him and given Him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Let's pray. Father, again, I just want to stop and just say thank You for all Your blessings upon me, my family, our church, Lord, the families that are represented here. God, I just thank You so much for what You've done for us, what You're doing for us, and to be able to hear these testimonies, God, and just people thank You for what You've done. Lord, I want to thank You for how much You love us and care for us. And Jesus, what You did for us, what we see in these scriptures here, knowing our lowly place, our low place, and our undeservingness, God, but You chose to come down and be that substitute for us. You chose to come down and meet us at the level at which we are at, God, and that means so much. So many people aren't willing to do that. They kind of go by and just maybe do what they want to do, or stay in an elevated place, God. But You saw our need, and You sent Your only begotten Son to come and be in likeness of men for us. God, I thank You so much for that. Lord, I pray for those this morning that are going through things, facing things, God, hard things. I pray for the McKinneys and different ones, those that are on our prayer list, God. I just pray that You be with them. Lord, those that are not able to be here, those that are shut in and sick, God, just not able to come, Lord, we pray for them. Lord, those that are lost, God, I especially pray for them this morning. Those that are lost here this morning, God, I just pray that You touch their hearts. What a wonderful thing and a blessed thing it is to be saved, God. And I just thank You so much for making it a way for us to be saved, God. I thank You for that. Lord, go with us. Lord, go with us in the furtherance of this service. Just let Your will be done. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Have you tried humility? Have you tried humility? I hear a lot of times people talking about being low or being down. The weather can do that. Different things can do that. Just being in these fleshly bodies will cause us to do that. That's just kind of how these bodies are. You go outside, you take the sunlight in, and it makes you feel better. I think sometimes the reason we are feeling low is because maybe we've tried to elevate ourselves. Maybe we placed ourselves in a place that we shouldn't be, higher than what we should be. You say, preacher, you're saying I'm high-minded and haughty. I'm just saying, let's just look at what the Bible says about it. The Bible says here, if we raise ourselves up, then we will be lowered. But if we lower ourselves, we will be raised up. That's what the Bible teaches. I believe there's something to that. If we live in a state of mind that we're supposed to have this many things or be living at this level, chasing this down, if we feel like we're not meeting that level, then if you're not careful, you're going to be discouraged a lot of the time. That's kind of how things are set up. People want to try to build up and grow and go. But you know, how many times have you ever heard anybody say, when I grow up, I want to be a servant? Have you ever heard that? Miss Jen, I don't think I've ever heard that. Think about it. I mean, have you ever heard that? When I grow up, I want to be a servant. Most of the time, people say they want to be at an elevated position up here at the top so they can have servants, right? So they don't have to do all the things they don't want to do. So that's kind of how people think. I think our young people, if we're not careful, we will let them think that that's kind of how it is. You get up here and you don't have to worry about all these little things. See, that's not how Jesus is at all. I just want to say this. He's amazing. Jesus is absolutely amazing. He's everything. Just the way that he knows how we are and he sees us, but he knows how to deal with us. Now you look at the word humility. Have you tried humility? In ethics, it means freedom from pride and arrogance. If you look at Jesus, I've never saw him being prideful in his word. Never saw that. Never saw him arrogant. You know, he could have, at the snap of his fingers, he could have done so many things. Just the words of his mouth, he could have done so many things, but he didn't do it that way. You talk about somebody that was humble. God being humble. Isn't that an amazing thing to think about? Humbleness of mind. A modest estimate of one's own worth. A lot of times people don't really come across that way. You know, in the workplace or what have you, athletics, different kind of things, people want to give the reasons why they're the better person in politics. They want to give you the reason why they're the better pick. Why I'm better. They look at everybody else's competition. You see, Jesus didn't do that. He didn't approach things that way. And it's amazing how he came to this earth in the way that he did it. He didn't come in a showing way where you would think, like with the Jewish people, they wanted to see something big as their king, something flashy, something showy. And he came anything but that. He came lowly in a low estate. Was born in a manger. We see how it was when he started just coming out of the Christmas season. In theology, humility consists of lowliness of mind. A deep sense of one's own unworthiness in the sight of God. Now that's where we really need to stay all of our Christian life. In that state, I'm not saying a state of depression. It's anything but depression, but a state of unworthiness in the sight of God. When we see things happen and it's like it don't go our way, we'll pout, we'll cry, and we'll say, I didn't get my way. Why do we think we deserve anything anyway? Preacher, that's depressing. No, listen to me. In the sight of God, why do we elevate ourselves so much? We put ourselves up here. A lot of people, a lot of Christians don't even need God anymore because they're up here. They've got it all. Where do you think those blessings came from? Where do you think all that came from? The energy to get up. If you have a provision through the workplace, you had to have energy, you had to have breath, you had to have health to get up and do that. Where did that come from? Only God can give that. The ability, the mind, the ability to go and do things, where does that come from? We get so elevated. God has blessed us so much that I think a lot of times people just have grown unappreciative. If we're not careful, we'll become critical. I thought about this morning. As I was getting ready, when you look at Galatians and you see the Judaizers who were looking at the Jewish faith and all the legalities that they looked at, they were so intertwined with upholding this law and adding more to the law that nobody could uphold that and do that. But buddy, they stood back and they acted like, I can. I can do all these things. Look how good I am. You know what that reminds me of in this day and time? If we're not careful, the church, the world looking in at the church and saying, boy, they think there's something else, don't they? High-minded, too good, looking down at their nose at other people and all that. Let me tell you, that is not of Jesus Christ in any form. Never has been. I think you'll see that right here. I think you'll see it in these verses. Proverbs 15 is a good place to study if you want to think about humility. It starts off talking about a soft answer, turns away wrath. That's a good place to start too in dealing with people. not being argumentative, but being soft-hearted, listening to people. But I wanted to read this verse to get us started. It says, the heart, this is Proverbs 15, 28. It says, the heart of the righteous studieth to answer. You know, when somebody asks you maybe in the world, or somebody kind of comes across maybe truthfully wanting to know something about the Bible, something about God, why should I accept God? The heart of the righteous studieth the answer, to answer. But the mouth of the wicked poureth out evil things. Have you ever seen that? People that want to argue, man, they don't even know what they are saying. They're just spouting it out as fast as they can. From time to time, I look on social media, different things about these reels, and it's people asking people who God is, or asking about politics and all this kind of stuff like that. And what they'll do is the people that are mad, it's like they get so intertwined in what they're saying, they don't even know what they're really saying. They're just mad and they're just spouting it out. You know, Christians, we're not about arguing with other people. We're about studying out the right answer. How can I get this and relay this to this person so they can understand it? That's what we should be about. That's what humility is about. Not looking at somebody like that they should know these things. There's a world out here that don't know a lot of things about God. It's you and I that needs to be studying to them. And it says here, this is how the Lord looked down at us when he was leaving heaven to come be on earth, to be here with us. This is where his mind was at. This is what Paul was saying here to us also, saying, now let this mind be in you and me. Let us have this same mind. Christ gave us an example. It says, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. This was the mind that he had, and therefore you and I are supposed to have this same mind. Who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Let's read that again. Who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God. You see, this is something, I've said this a lot, and you have to get this and understand. You have to know who Jesus is to be saved. You have to know that. So God, coming to this earth in the form of Jesus, in the form of man, that is who Jesus is. He is the face of God to mankind, that we can see him. That's who he is. He thought it not robbery to be able to place himself in this estate, to be able to take on this body, to walk with us and still be God. He wasn't trying to proclaim to be something he wasn't, or anybody that he wasn't, but he had to come down and to be in this flesh. Now you look at verse number 7. It said, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. I apologize, my nose is running, still kind of congested. But he made himself of no reputation. That means a name, a good name, or a public opinion. He made himself of no reputation. He didn't come down and try to razzle and dazzle people into thinking that he was God or something like that. He didn't do that. The most impactful people that I have been around are people who don't say what they are. They simply are who they are. Have you ever been around anybody like that? They don't say it. They don't state the obvious sometimes. They don't necessarily state the Bible. They don't say it verbally, but you see it. You see it in their life. That's way more impactful than saying it. We say things, we hear things, and I think we accept things, but very often we don't actually practice those things. But we know it. We chalk it up to experience. Yeah, well, I know that, but I'm not doing that. He was not interested in public opinion. He didn't come down just to try to create himself a name. But he made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. He put himself in the form of a servant. Isn't that something? Mankind does not do that. How many of our politicians today who are public servants, how many of them today do you actually see actually serve? Serve the people. Do something for the people. Most of what you see in this day and time is what they do for themselves. Am I wrong? That's what we see. That's the mess that we're in today. A lot of these people will come in, and career politicians have little net worth, and by the time they retire out, millionaires. How does that happen? Servants generally aren't wealthy people. They're here to serve the people. Servants have kind of one thing in mind. They want to make sure somebody else is taken care of. That's what servants do. A lot of times people, they don't want to take that upon themselves. But you see, Jesus, being God, he took it upon himself to serve. Now, who is he serving? Did he take it upon himself to serve this magnificent, just worthy group of people? Is that who he came to serve? I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy of his goodness. You know, I'm not worthy of anything he's ever done for me. Nothing. But you know what happens sometimes if you're not careful? You think about the Judaizers. If you're not careful, we look through these eyes, maybe as a saved person, you look out in the world and you see the sin that people are in, and my goodness, you can cut them off at the knees real quick if you're not careful. Say, boy, boy, they've missed it. They're going to hell, buddy. They're going to be judged. You know what Jesus did? He said, if they don't see Christ, if they don't see me, if they don't get right, they'll end up in hell. And he came down. He said, you know what? I want to show them the way. I want to show them. It wasn't a matter of coming down and being judgmental or anything like that. It was a matter of, I love these people enough that I'm going to become like them to help them. You definitely see the heart of God in Jesus Christ. And it took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. He came down to be like us, to help us. That amazes me. You think about things you create, and you know, sometimes I don't have a lot of good analogies for this, but I was thinking about when I was little, had little army men and things. You get down the ground on the floor and play as a kid, and you'd take those little men and you'd make them do this and do that or whatever. Inanimate objects. See, that's kind of how the Lord is with us. We were inanimate objects until he blew the breath of life into us. And he wants to live through us. He wants us to have a relationship with him. He wants us to have a meaningful life. So he came down and found this way here. And it says here in verse number 8, and being found and fashioned as a man, Jesus Christ being a man, God being a man, he humbled himself. I want to ask you this. Have you ever humbled yourself? Do you have an example of a time that you humbled yourself? I'm not saying you don't. But I look back on my life. Unfortunately, a lot of times I find times in my life that I was humbled by somebody else, by God, or by somebody else. Brought down a few notches. And I tell you, that does not feel good. Doesn't feel good at all. What God is telling us to do in his word right here, he's telling us to humble ourselves. Jesus humbled himself. He saw the big picture. He saw and he knew. He knows what he wanted to accomplish. And also being in this flesh, that is an amazing thing to do. Humbling oneself is a very hard thing to do. Most often people want to justify themselves. I see this a lot. I see people again, you know, look at somebody, and my goodness, when somebody else is in the wrong, they want to see judgment. When they find themselves in the wrong, they want mercy. You ever see that? You look across, you see people, yeah, they're wrong, yeah, they're in sin, but why would we not pray for their mercy just like we'd pray for our own? God came in the form of Jesus to give us mercy. I know judgment is coming, and it's coming one day. We should be praying for those around us that are lost to be saved, not to be found in that judgment, but to escape it. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. He knew what he was coming here to do in this body. He knew all along. He was going to be obedient unto death. He was going to make his flesh in subjection. And he was going to take it to the cross to die for our sins. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. So that's interesting about how this worked out. We see this example in Jesus Christ. He humbled himself. He made himself of low estate, and God lifted him up. I just want to say this. I know I talk to a lot of people who are down, a lot of people who are depressed, a lot of people who are anxious about things and kind of going through things. But if you are truly a child of God, I want to tell you this. If this won't help you, I don't know what will. But if you find yourself down and out, start praising God. Is that making sense? Stop and just think, now, what has the Lord done for me? If that won't lift you up, I really don't know what will. I'm being honest with you. As a child of God, you might not understand that and probably wouldn't understand that as a lost person. I understand that this morning. But if you are a child of God, if that won't lift you up, I don't know what will. Based on what the Word of God says. Just thinking about Him, His goodness, what He's done, and how He placed Himself in our position to be our sacrifice. If that won't lift you up, I don't know what will. He's worthy of our praise this morning. He's worthy of everything that we can give to Him. Acts chapter 4, verse 12, it says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. His name is settled. We see here again, I go on down, we see here, verse number 9 again, wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. And I close with these last two verses here. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven, things of earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, the glory of God the Father. It doesn't say shall. If you notice, it says should. And we don't really talk that way. In this day and time, if you read that fastly, you'd probably say every name shall, or every knee shall, every tongue shall, like in a future tense. If you shall, like a future tense. If you look up the word should, it's kind of interesting. It means present tense, and it also means future tense. So what? Where are you going with this? What does that mean? That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, the glory of God, the Father. Now, what does that mean? That means you will either confess Him now or you will confess Him in the future. That is giving us the opportunity now. You will confess Him now. You will uplift Him as Jesus now, as our Savior now, or you will in the future. At the judgment. I tell you, it's amazing what the Lord has given to us in this time that He's given to us. Matthew chapter number 24, verse 12, and it says, and whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. If you find yourself in a position of feeling low and you need to pick me up, start lifting up the Lord. Humble yourself and lift up the Lord. Let's don't find ourselves in a place of not being willing to worship Him, being willing to praise Him, and just taking it like that, but being willing to praise Him now while you can. So other people can appreciate it. Other people can learn from it. The world can see it. Goes along with talking about that thankfulness, Brother Mike, that you were talking about. Now's the time to show that thankfulness, that appreciation. But I tell you, it takes humility to do that. I know this. I know I see a lot in this day and time. A lot of folks think they have it figured out. They're not going to lower themselves to do this or do that. I want to encourage you this morning. Whatever position you're in, do it to the very best you can. God is watching. He knows our heart of the matter. What you do, do everything heartily as unto the Lord. Everything that we do. He knows our appreciation. He knows our humility. He knows if we are or we aren't. But if you really want to worship the Lord this morning, it's going to be through humility. It'll be through thankfulness. I'll stop there this morning. I'll stop here. I do appreciate your good attention. I'll ask the ladies if they will to come. I do apologize for my runny nose this morning.